is the final week of this five-week series we've done on the book of James, and today's reading comes from James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The prayer of faith will save the sick. How much pain do you suppose has been caused by that one verse? I wonder how many of us have prayed for someone to get well who didn't. How many times have you poured out your heart in earnest, fervent prayer, asking God to do something for you or for someone you loved, and your prayer was not answered in the way you hoped it would be? If only I'd had more faith. If only I'd prayed harder. If only I was a better Christian, then my loved one would not have died, or my marriage would have survived, or my child wouldn't be battling addiction. If only. Now, I'll be honest, one of the things that I know about myself is that I have a hard time preaching about prayer. Partly, and I hate to admit this, partly because at this stage of my life, I'm still not sure I understand it. But more than that, I hold back from preaching about prayer because of cringe passages like this one that suggest that prayer is easy and automatic. Ask and you shall receive. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. You do not have because you do not ask. Really? Could anything be less true? As I struggled with this sermon this week, I made the mistake of going to the internet to see what other people have said, and there are lots of times, I'll be honest, when I'm grateful for the ability to access information instantly. And there are other times when I'm reminded that the internet can be a cesspool of bad advice, bad actors, and bad theology. And sure enough, what I found was a barrage of sermons and articles and statements saying that if you pray for something and didn't get it, there's a very simple answer. You just didn't pray hard enough. But you know what? I know that's not true. Because if it was, my parents would both be alive and healthy. If it was true, black lives would matter. If it was true, this church would have more money than we know what to do with. If it was true, my kitchen renovation would have been done 3 weeks ago at a minimum. The truth is that I pray for a lot of things that I may never see the answers to. I pray for peace and justice. I pray for an end to our obsession with guns. I pray for the healing of our planet in every way imaginable. Pray that we can stop demonizing people who look different, or speak differently, or believe differently. But if it sounds like James is implying that's how it works, I get it. He says Elijah prayed that fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. Now it sounds like what he's saying is that if you have enough faith, if you say the right words, if you have someone as righteous as Elijah praying, then A plus B will always equal C. Your prayer will always work, and you will always get just what you want. Now the problem with that, of course, is it turns prayer into some sort of magic formula, and it turns God into a divine lackey who has to spring into action every time we snap our fingers. And that's not the way it works. Even though Elijah's prayers bring an immediate end to a drought, 10 verses earlier, James reminded us that we have to be patient, like the farmer who waits for the rain, which, as any farmer can tell you, comes or doesn't come in its own good time. God is God, and God cannot be coerced by our prayers. But God can be asked, and sometimes we forget that. At the end of each day, a college student calls her mom. Her roommates don't understand. They think she's too tied to mama's apron strings, that she's not independent enough. You're 21 years old, they say. Why are you still calling your mom every single night? And her answer? My mom loves me more than anyone I know. And at the end of the day, when I think back about everything that happened, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the things I'm excited about, things that scare me, why wouldn't I want to call my mom and tell her all of that? What is prayer? It's calling home. It's checking in at the end of the day or throughout the day about how things are going. David Loos is the former president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He offers three thoughts about prayer that are so simple as to be obvious, but I think they bear repeating. First, he says, none of us knows exactly how to pray. We might may find something that's comfortable, but prayer is something we keep learning. And like everything else in life, we learn best by doing it. Secondly, he reminds us that there is no one way to pray. Some people like corporate prayer, others pray in silence. Some like having a few phrases to repeat over and over. Others think of music as prayer. We are different people and we go through different seasons and circumstances, and there are an infinite number of ways to pray that suit all of those different people and situations. Finally, he says, just pray. He borrows a line from Nike: when it comes to prayer, just do. There is no small prayer. There is no wrong way to pray. There is no wasted prayer. And as we pray, contemplative or corporate, silent or out loud, with words or deeds, God is eager to hear and respond, because there is nothing that God wants more than to be in relationship with us. I think James could say amen to all of that, because it calls for action, and James is a person of action. Remember back in the first chapter of this little book, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. In the second chapter, he says, don't discriminate between rich and poor and show favoritism toward the rich. Chapter 3, you people need to tame your tongues. Chapter 4, I want you to seek the way of wisdom. All of those are action words. Remember, James is the guy who says, faith without works is dead. And so here in chapter 5, James begins to talk about doing the work. not the way most of us think about it, to be honest. When we talk to someone who is sick, we'll often say, "I'm so sorry you're feeling bad. Is there anything I can do?" "No, nothing." "Well, okay then, I'll be praying for you." Which is to say, if there's nothing I can do, then I guess I'll just pray. We put doing and praying into two separate categories, but that's not the case at all, James says. Yes, there are times when offering thoughts and prayers are an easy out. But sometimes, honest, seeking, pounding on the doors of heaven prayers are exactly what's called for. And that is good, hard work. There's one more thing about prayer that seems worth mentioning this morning, especially. You can't see this in the modern English in the New Revised Standard Version, but in these verses from James 5, every time the word "you" appears, it's actually the second person plural. The King James Version actually got it right. "Confess your sins to one another that ye may be healed." Ye, you, plural. All of you. All y'all. And on a day when we consider our life together as a congregation, as we'll do in the annual meeting just a little while from now, I think it's worth remembering that our life and what we do as a community of faith matters. We do the work of prayer together. We seek to love God together. We serve